Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Where is God's power most clearly seen? In a healed tumor or in a life changed from the inside out? Those with discerning hearts know that the power of the gospel far outweighs the power seen in miracles, signs, and wonders. For more, stay with us. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Our series is on Who Are You to Judge? Learning to distinguish between truths, half-truths, and lies. Erwin Lutzer comes now to speak again on judging miracles, helping our discernment by explaining that miracles are not unique to Christianity.
There are books on Hindu miracles. There are books on Buddhist miracles. If you've ever read the Christian Science Centennial, you'll notice that there are all kinds of articles about miraculous healings, detailed articles, which supposedly are verified by physicians. And yet when you begin to look more closely and see the theology that is used here, it is much more akin to what a friend of mine calls the hyper-spirituality of pop culture. I've read all kinds of things about what some of these healers say about how when you pray, your hands change color, and how there are those who say that they can smell God. All kinds of foolishness that is really part of popular culture. All of that now comes under the banner of Christianity. Again, it's not to say that God doesn't do miracles. It's to say that what passes for miracles oftentimes is really not a miracle based on God's word at all. It's something else. In a previous message, I told you, but it fits here again, that the reformers, when they uncovered the gospel, official Christendom said to them, "We have the truth because you don't have the miracles we do. We have statues that weep. We have relics that multiply themselves. We have all of these stories of miracles. We have the truth." And the reformers said, "No, the gospel itself is the power of God unto salvation to those who believe." And in 1 Corinthians, which is really the passage I wanted to give you here, 1 Corinthians 1, 22 and 24, I shall not read it, but you do that on your own. It says, the Jews, they want a sign, and the Greeks are seeking wisdom. But he says, what we do is we preach the gospel, the power of God. I'll tell you, you can perform all kinds of healings, and there are going to be people who will not believe because of the healings. They'll have alternate explanations. But when you have someone like a Charles Colson, who can gainsay the transformation of the human heart? It is the gospel that shows the power of God most clearly. Principle number two, biblical miracles are presented as redemptive acts of God. Redemptive acts of God. For example, it says in Psalm 135, verse 9, "He sent his signs and wonders into your midst, O Egypt." He was talking about the signs and wonders during the days of Pharaoh. And in the book of Acts, the signs and wonders are referred to as God's gracious acts of intervention, redemptively. But here's where it gets tricky. Sometimes signs and wonders are not of God at all. During the time of Moses, you find that Moses and Aaron went to Pharaoh. I'm in the 7th chapter of Exodus. And did just as the Lord commanded. Aaron threw down his staff in front of Pharaoh, and it became a snake. Pharaoh then summoned the wise men and the sorcerers and the Egyptian magicians, and they did the same things by their secret arts. Now, it does say that in this instant, when the staffs were thrown down, that one swallowed the other, Aaron's did, but they did the same thing. Listen to this. Moses and Aaron did just as the Lord commanded. Moses raised his staff in the presence of Pharaoh and his officials and struck the water of the Nile, and all the water was changed into blood. The fish in the Nile died. The river smelled so bad that the Egyptians could not drink its water. Blood was everywhere in Egypt, but the Egyptian magicians did the same thing with their secret arts. Wow. Miracle for miracle, Moses does this, they do that. You say, well, where are they getting their power? Well, we would assume the devil, but we're not specifically told. All that we know is that signs and wonders can occur also in a pagan culture. You know, it's interesting that the signs and wonders in themselves were not sufficient for people to believe, because the very next verse, if I had read it in the passage I was reading with from Exodus, said, and Pharaoh hardened his heart because he was saying, we can do what you can do. You look at the ministry of Jesus. As his signs and wonders increased, hostility toward him in the popular culture also increased. Now, signs and wonders are good and they authenticate a message for those who are willing to believe. But for those who are not willing to believe, no sign nor wonder would ever possibly convince them. In fact, Jesus ended by saying, you know, a wicked and adulterous generation is seeking after a sign. All that you want from me is do another miracle. Feed us once more. Show us what you can do. Walk across the water. Jesus said, no, I'm not going there. I'm not going there. I've given you enough reason to believe, and more signs would not change your heart. So first of all, we notice that the power of God is best seen in the gospel. Signs are a redemptive act of God. Thirdly, there is no promise that we can have a miracle. And here I'm thinking particularly of healing. There's no promise that we can have a miracle such as healing whenever we want it, if only we have the faith. Why do I feel so strongly about these matters? It's because I've seen it throughout the years. I've had people who are very close to me buy into this view that because Jesus conquered the devil and sickness is of the devil, you have a right to be healed from whatever it is that ails you at any time, in any way, if only you have the faith. And if you are not healed, it is because you do not have the faith. And in my own family, in the wider family, I've had people weep, saying, God has rejected me because I claim this healing and I've not received it. No, you do not have a right to claim that healing. You know, it's interesting that faith healers themselves, some of them end up wearing glasses, they get arthritis, and you know what happens in the end? They die. Well, I thought that if Jesus Christ died, that we always be healed. Just keep getting your healing. We had some friends like that. They said, we will never die because we are going to claim our healing moment by moment by moment by moment. These are friends of ours. Well, guess what? They died. They died. I see so much hurt in this area. I see faith healers blaming people. If you don't have the faith, it's your fault that you weren't healed. If you are healed, look at my gift of healing. I've seen that so often. Now let me be very candid. And here again, you know, this could be a whole separate message. That's why I'm a little frustrated, but you're going to get the big picture. And that is that, of course, Jesus died for us, body, soul, and spirit. I don't argue with those who say that there is healing in the atonement, that the redemption of the body was included in the death of Christ. But my dear friend, we do not enter into all those benefits and blessings in this life. In this life, says Paul, we groan waiting for the redemption of the body. And some of you, bless you, I'm looking at you right now. You woke up this morning and you were groaning. And you were thoroughly biblical. Those groans were biblical groans. Yes, of course the day is coming when we're going to have brand new bodies, when we'll be no longer subject to illness and arthritis and car accidents and all of the other things. Of course that day is coming, and that's what Jesus purchased. But in this life we shall have tribulation. In this life we have sickness. In this life we die. Number four. And now it really begins to get testy. Some people are going to say, well, you know, he went a little too far on point four. Well, I'm going there. I'm flying out of town later this afternoon. Ah, this is going to sound, I don't know how to make this sound really postmodern. Miracles are done for the benefit of God's people, with God's purpose. They're not just done indiscriminately. It doesn't matter what you believe, you get your miracle too. No. Here I do have to step on some toes. I'm thinking, for example, of the television program Touched by an Angel. Now, I have many Christian friends who watch it. They say, yeah, but at the end it always ends up so nicely, and it's the feel-good television show. All right, fine. The problem is it is loaded with theology and cultural stereotypes. For example, the whole idea that people are essentially good, that it doesn't matter what you believe, and that there are angels out there willing to do anything for anybody, no matter what you believe, because that's not the issue. It's just that these angels are loving, and they come along, and they help anyone. Let me say a couple of things, first of all, about evil angels. Evil angels can mouth a very sound doctrine. In Mark chapter 1, you'll notice that an evil spirit said to Jesus, "We know who you are, the Holy One of God." Is there anyone who would disagree with a demon at that point? In fact, a little later on, again it was said that you are the Son of God. These are demonic spirits confessing good, evangelical, biblical theology. We also know that evil angels, if possible, duplicate the miracles of Christ. That's why it says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 9, that the time is coming when Antichrist is going to do signs and wonders and miracles, and all three of those words are used in the New Testament for what Jesus did, and he's going to duplicate them. And today there are duplications of healings and visions and all kinds of things that are in line with evangelical theology even. But as we learned at the beginning of this message, people who even say, "Lord, Lord," and that in itself is not proof that they have come from God.
Well, my friend, this is Pastor Lutzer. What you have just heard is very sobering, isn't it? Because there certainly is a lot of deception in our world. And Running to Win exists to help people make it all the way to the finish line, and that includes helping people with discernment, to understand the difference between that which is true, that which is half true, that which is false. We exist to exalt Jesus Christ as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But I need to tell you that today is the last day that you can participate with us in what we call the matching gift campaign. Some of our friends have said that they will match what is given up to $90,000. That means that your gift of $10 becomes $20. A $25 gift, of course, becomes $50, $50, $100. Well, you can do the arithmetic. Take advantage of this opportunity to have your gift doubled, because we are committed in this ministry to share the good news of the gospel of Christ with thousands upon thousands of people.
Today, Erwin Lutzer brought part two of Judging Miracles, the fifth in a 10-part series on Who Are You to Judge? A Study in Discernment. Next time, more about modern-day miracles. Your gift to Running to Win is appreciated and can be doubled during this month. Help us take advantage of the matching gift campaign by calling 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. Thanks for listening. For Dr. Erwin Lutzer, this is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.